evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be with you all again as we continue our midweek Advent service. This evening, we are continuing our service going through our series, going through the Songs of Advent, where we are today focusing on Mary's Magnificat. It's a beautiful song sung by Mary, the mother of our Lord. And may we also sing now our first hymn together. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to the town in Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
As we continue on our series of the songs of Advent, we come now this evening to the song of Mary, the mother of our Lord. Or as you may have heard it, another name, Mary's Magnificat. Its name comes from the Latin, which means to magnify, which, as you'll notice, is the opening tone, and it is the first note. For Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Just a minute ago, we sang the hymn together, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came." And personally, of all of the Advent hymns, I think this has my favorite melody. But not only is it super catchy, but it also captures this very moment in Mary's life. For this hymn tells us the story behind the Magnificat. Stanza 3 even records her words, "My soul shall laud and magnify God's holy name." But as we'll see, she's singing this out in response of an angelic message that she had just received. Because the angel Gabriel from heaven came. And what he brought with him was this news that this young, poor, virgin lady would bear a child. And she would be called the mother of our Lord. If I could nitpick for a second, though, I want to correct one small detail about the song. And that's stanza 1, where it talks about the angel Gabriel. Because if you were to read through Luke's gospel, you would notice that nowhere does he tell you the details about Gabriel. In fact, in all actuality, that's all that we do get. It is his name. We're not told how Gabriel came to Mary. For all we know, he could have come descending in on a cloud. He could have appeared to Mary in a flash of an array of lights. Or perhaps Gabriel just came knocking on Mary's door. We have no idea. But even more than that, Luke likewise doesn't tell us what Gabriel looked like. We aren't given the details as the hymn suggests that Gabriel had eyes of flame or that his wings were as white as the drifted snow. In fact, it seems as if Luke doesn't focus upon the angel at all. And it's not because Luke is somehow afraid to give minor details. Luke gives details all over the place in his gospel. In fact, Luke is the only gospel writer who traces the family tree of Jesus all the way back to Adam and Eve. Luke's gospel is full of dozens of details that aren't found in any of the other gospels. And I think that is significant. The reason why I might seem to be nitpicking over the hymn that we just sang is because I think Luke is taking a cue from Mary's Magnificat. My soul does magnify the Lord. The attention of the story isn't on the mighty angel at all. Luke doesn't give but two words to the man, the angel. But rather, Luke focuses exclusively on Mary, the angel's message, but most importantly of all, on the Lord God Almighty. For my soul does magnify the Lord. And dear friends, it's begging to be asked then, how does one go about magnifying the Lord? How do you amplify or enlarge the glory of God? What does it even mean to magnify the Lord? Because it's not like you can make him any greater than he already is. It's not like you can make him any more mighty than almighty. You can't increase the infinity of his nature, nor can you make perfection any greater. So what then does it mean when Mary says that her soul magnifies the Lord? Well, obviously, I don't think it means any of those things. Instead, it's just like what a magnifying glass did for you when you were a child. If you were anything like me, you take the magnifying glass as a kid and you would use it to look at bugs or grasshoppers. And if you did that, you would know full well that the grasshopper hasn't changed one bit. The grasshopper appears bigger, but in no way has it physically gotten any bigger before you. The grasshopper hasn't all of a sudden literally become this 5-inch monster before you, nor does it become any stronger than it already is. Instead, to magnify just increases your view of the object. And the same is true with our Lord. Nothing we do can actually increase the glory of the infinite. And nothing we do can make him any more great, stronger, or any more loving. Rather, to magnify the Lord means to just increase your own perception of him. To magnify the Lord means to increase him in the eyes of yourself and of your neighbor. It's to magnify him in the thoughts and minds of all people. Magnifying God means that our view of God's wonder, glory, and love would be magnified and amplified within our own hearts. And so it is, dear friends, what better way to magnify the Lord than to humble yourself? What better way is there to get a better, more accurate view of God's perfection than to juxtapose him to an accurate view of ourselves? And what better way is there to see him better for who he truly is already than by getting ourselves out of the way? In order to see how glorious God truly is, we therefore must humble ourselves. I heard an analogy a while back used to describe how we can better see and understand the true glory of God. And it uses as an example a teeter-totter. Like the childhood's toy, when one side goes down, the other side must go up. And so it's like with trying to get a proper view of God's perfection, glory, and love. For in order to see God for who he truly is, and in order to lift him up into his proper position, we must lower ourselves into our proper position. God must increase, and we must decrease. For like the teeter-totter, if we begin to raise ourselves up, or if we begin to view ourselves more highly than we ought, or if in pride we start to attribute to ourselves glory that is rightly due to God alone, we would therefore be diminishing the praise, honor, and glory that he alone deserves. Because when one side goes up, the other side must come down. And puffing yourself up and thinking too highly of yourself diminishes your view of God's glory. It's like instead looking through the wrong end of a telescope. The object appears more distant and smaller than ever. And that's what Mary's Magnificat is all about. It's about this magnification of God's glory. It's raising God into his proper place within the confines of our own hearts and minds. Even Gabriel the angel himself, must be seen as nothing compared to God. Even this angel, if he had eyes of flame and wings as white as the drifted snow, even he must decrease. All these must get out of the way and let the full glory of God shine through. For God is infinitely good, and he is infinitely holy. There's no raising him higher than he truly already deserves, and there's no lowering ourselves than we deserve. Because the testimony of Scripture is that we are fallen creatures of the ground. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We are like the grass of the field that is here today, but gone tomorrow. While God is from everlasting to everlasting. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But even still, when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If you read through Luke's gospel, you find that the details he gives, they focuses on the lowliness of humanity and upon the lowliness of Christ's birth. Luke focuses on the lowliness of Mary, Joseph, and on the entire situation surrounding the birth of Jesus. Christ is born in this miniature town called Bethlehem. He's born in a lowly stall and is placed in a feeding trough. He's born to this young and lowly, poor virgin. See how God and his love is magnified, therefore, when we focus on these details of Christ's birth. Jesus' love is magnified when we put humility and their humanity in their proper position. And when we see, rather, when God himself is coming to us to become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. God is all the more magnified in our hearts and minds when we watch as he condescends down to our own level. Jesus is seen traversing the universe to be born as an infant. It's not the love of God magnified within you. When he deigns to call you a brother and sister, surely the love of God is magnified within you when you focus on Jesus lowering himself to walk along this cursed ground and to breathe our poisoned air. The more you put man in his proper place, the greater God's glory shall appear before you. There's no better way to worship God and to glorify him than by saying, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," and then putting his sacrificial love on display by receiving his free grace. That is by throwing yourself in his loving arms and resting there in full assurance, knowing that he shall save you out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. God is magnified in the face of all people when in humility we become trophies of God's redeeming power to save us, claiming not one dot or tittle of the prize for ourselves. For truly did Christ die for us while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. This magnification of God is the entire theme of Mary's Magnificat. It's the opening chord, and it follows throughout the rest of her song as well. I wish we had more time together to unpack it all, but I encourage you to look through it devotionally this next week. But very briefly now, see how Mary continues lifting up the name of her God while she lowers herself. In verse 47, she rejoices in her Savior. She essentially confesses herself as a sinner. In verse 48, she calls herself God's humble servant. She magnifies the great deeds that God has done. She amplifies his mercy, his gifts, and his strength. He scatters the proud, she says, and she exalts the humble. He fills the poor with food, and he remembers his promises to all generations. As Lutherans, we often don't talk about Mary that often, for she sounds too Catholic to our Protestant ears. But truly, this girl and this young lady is a beautiful example to us of what Christian humility ought to look like. This is the fear of the Lord, where she says, "Let it be done to me, your servant, as you see fit. For you are my God and my Savior, and I know that you shall be with me through it all. No matter what comes my way, whether trial or storm, I can rejoice and be glad, for you, O Lord, are with me, and you are seeing me through the darkness of the night. Whatever pain or suffering, Lord, you see fit to have fall upon me, let it be done unto your humble servant. Let me bear the yoke with gladness, knowing that through thankful praise and trust, you are being glorified through me forever. Your name is exalted and magnified before the face of all people, all angels, and all demons forever. And I, your humble servant, shall be led to rejoice eternally in the praise of his holy name. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you, O God, are enough." Amen. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." At this time, we sing our next hymn. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Gracious Father, you are from everlasting to everlasting. You are the eternal God, creator of the heavens and the earth. You do not grow tired or weary, and your understanding is unsearchable. You are mighty in all of your ways. As we come before you at your invitation, we pray that we can gain an increasing awareness of who you are. Give us the eyes to see that you are the Lord, holy, majestic, and perfect. May you put those spiritual eyes within us that we may see you for the God of love that you really are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, we pray and ask that by your Spirit you would lead us to follow in Mary's example. Lead us to magnify you within our own hearts and minds. Lead us to rejoice always in you from the depths of our souls. Give us a proper understanding of who we are before you. Give us that spirit of humility to confess that we are but your lowly servants. Lead us and put the desire within us to serve and obey you all of our days. Whatever we do, help us to do it in light of your kingdom. Whether we are working or resting, help us to recognize you in all of it. In the mundane works of life, also help us to see eternal significance that as we work for our neighbors, we are working unto you and your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Father, we lift your name on high for your gracious love. Having not spared your own Son, you sent him to die for us. In sacrificial love towards us, you sent your Son to be for us our Redeemer by blood. And we give you thanks for the matchless wisdom and grace that you have set forth to rescue us from sin and death. For by this great act of mercy, you could be both just and the justifier. You remain wholly undefiled, and yet still you were able to bring us unclean men and women before you. Lead us always to sing praise to your glorious name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray Luther's evening prayer together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated.